It's actually the book of Romans, chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Do you know what talked about Jell-O in Romans 12? No? Huh? Y'all seem asleep. I'll tell you how my morning opened up. My wife asked me, do I know what day it is? That's always interesting. You know what day it is? It was Sunday. I knew what day it was. Today's our 40th wedding anniversary. 40 years together, me and Miss Rochelle. Married. Happily. Yes, I knew what day it was. What are y'all going to do for your anniversary? We're going to go eat tacos after church. Romans chapter 12. You know, we have the ability in our life to do a lot of changing. Sunday school class, we talked about changing hair color a little bit before class started. You know you can change your hair color? You can. You can change your weight. You can change style of clothes. You know you can change your mind? You have the ability to change your mind. There's some things you can't change. You know that? Once you die, you cannot change your destination. Nobody can do anything to fix that. Once you die, eternity is set for you. It cannot be changed. You know, you can get cancer, and you may not be able to change that either. I've got heart issues. I've prayed about it. I was going into surgery one time. I prayed so hard. I just knew God was going to show them surgery before I got in there. Brother Arnie, I don't need the surgery. But I woke up in recovery with life support on. Some things you can't change. But I'm here to tell you today, you can change your mind. Do you know your mind never takes a break? Even when you're sleeping, your mind is working. Thoughts in and out. Do you know our thoughts direct the path in which we'll go? How we think determines what we'll do? So the Scripture talks a lot about our mind. Paul used it here in Romans chapter 12. And really my message is not going to be so much about your mind changing as the word I'm going to share with you today is found in verse number 2. But let me read one with you as well. I put down in my study, when I study, I usually write in my Bible when I find something that sticks to my mind. Jell-O stuck in my mind when I studied this. I'll show you why in a second. But the other thing that stuck in my mind was that my mind has no neutral. How many of you ever said, I'm just going to go somewhere and chill out? Do you know you don't? No matter where you're at, Bobby, your mind's working. Thoughts are in thought. You can change location, but that doesn't mean your thoughts will change. And you can't say, for the next 24 hours, I'm not going to think about anything. Your mind has no neutral. So Paul says this, chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you or challenge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. How many here want to do God's will? I think that's all of us. I stressed over a lot of my life, Miss Anita, about where God wants me to be. Y'all hear what I just said? I've stressed a lot about my life, about where God wants me to be. And I should have stressed more in my life, Patrick, about how God wants me to act. People say, I don't know where God's leading me. Maybe He's leading me to this college or that college. Maybe He's leading me to this job or that job. Here's the thing that God has told me very clearly. He may not tell me exactly where to work. I know you're all thinking, well, the preacher's lost his mind. You just look it up. But what you will find is wherever you're working, He's going to tell you how to act. Doing God's will is about how you do it. How you act. You can do God's will and go to Walmart. How are you going to act when you're at Walmart? We get the opportunity every day. You know, a few weeks ago I started this 60-day challenge and I tried to share it with you. And I hope some of you are falling in line and maybe reading a little more in detail. But I've even changed how I've been praying. God, give me someone to serve. I'm going to be honest, Brother Greg. That's a prayer I've never prayed before. I just assumed that came with the job of being a pastor. You will get to serve somebody. But since I've been praying that prayer, can I tell you that God has opened, what, 1,000 more doors? Even like last night, Rochelle and I was traveling to Danville, and we decided to stop at the dollar store, except we were talking to him if we passed it. So I said, there's another dollar store at the bottom of Hall's Gap Hill. We'll stop there. There's dollar stores everywhere. Amen? I'll get the one at the bottom of Hall's Gap. So we pull in the bottom of Hall's Gap Hill. Shell's in the store looking for, by the way, Jell-O. This is how this happened because of Jell-O, okay? And here's, while she's in there, some guy comes to my door and he says, we've run out of gas. If I go buy a can, will you go get me some gas? Now, I seen him talking to somebody else before he came to my car. And you know what? The guy told him, no. So he came to my car, and he's not asking for me to buy a gas can. He said, I'll go into the store and buy a gas can. I look in my rearview mirror because I know it's a scam, and it's a 2019 van. Anybody drives 2019 vans don't run out of gas. Or do they? Nobody here's drove with the light on? Yeah. The year of the vehicle does not mean you won't run out of gas. Amen? I could see little kids in the car. So he ran and got a can out of the dollar store. He came back. And he gave me $20 to go get gas. I said, you just keep your money. I'll go get you gas and come back. So we go and get gas. We come back. We're trying to get in the car. Got some in the car. And I said, I'll follow you to the gas station. Make sure you get it there. She went to start the car. It wouldn't start. Where they sat there with the lights on and stuff, it run the battery down. So he started asking around, because I don't have no jumper cable. Dollar store don't sell jumper cables. If I own a dollar store, I would sell jumper cables. They don't. So we get them jumped off. We get them going. They're thanking us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't believe we run out of gas. I told her when we come down the road, stop and get gas. She just kept driving. She said, I just kept driving. Anybody know what we're talking about? And when they finally got their gas and they drove off from the gas station, the battery charged and everything's good, they want to know where we went to church. They went to church. There's a church in Somerset. We're going to come to visit you. I said, you don't have to come visit us. We want to. But I want to tell you what I got from that whole story. I asked God to give me somebody to serve that morning when I had my Bible study. And if you do that, Miss Deborah, He will. I prayed that this morning, Sherry, and He gave me somebody. But I'm going to tell you all this, Brother Joe. Don't pray that if you don't want to do it. So God says, He says, make your bodies, Mark, a living sacrifice. Here's what God says. Steve, when I saved you, I didn't take you to heaven because I need you here. I need you here to live in front of people, how I lived in front of people. I want you to be me while you're here. I want you to walk like I walk, talk like I talk. I want you to see what I see. I want you to be me while I'm here, while you're here. Actually, he left the church. And we call it the body of Christ. But sometimes we don't act like the body of Christ. Because Christ would not leave somebody stranded without gas. Christ wouldn't leave anybody hungry. Christ wouldn't leave anybody discouraged. Thanks, Cal. But we do. You know, because we ain't got time. We're busy. I was with my family. I'm doing it. I'm doing that. I'm trying to get you to see what Paul is saying. Now listen, this is going to take a change of thinking, Brother Paul. Because your natural way of thinking, I'm going to show you how your natural way of thinking is. Just like the other people. If you're dumb enough, when the light comes on past the gas station, you deserve to run out. You've thought it. You may have even mumbled it out loud. But it happens. You and I are not in this world to determine people's real needs or not real needs. Read Scripture. He didn't tell me to analyze them and make sure they had a legitimate need. He told me to feed them. He told me to give them a jump and give them gas. Even pay for it. I got an amen under the voice and a nod. Folks, you and I aren't taking any of this stuff with us. Mom and Dad right now has moved from 3,000 square foot to 1,500. They're trying to figure out where to put everything that was there here. And they're figuring out it ain't all going to fit. And they're divvying it out to different ones. But I'm going to tell you what's in the 1,500 square foot house will not go in the box with them one day. So while we're here, Paul is trying to say, be a living testimony. I wrote down in my Bible, this is my new devotional Bible for my 60 day. I wrote down, this is how we worship. I thought we came here to worship. I worshiped this morning. I worshiped last night. That's worship. Somehow, some way, we got to get back to what worship really is. There's a song that says, getting back to the heart of worship. Woo, we need to. Still not my message about Jell-O, but it's coming. Y'all like Jell-O? You got Jell-O left? Y'all invited to Jell-O after church. I'm getting to the Jell-O. Ready? Verse 2. Be not... What? Conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. You all said, we already know the sermon, preacher. I'm not sure we do. Because here's what I learned last week in my studies. That just like one of those days where you hit your head like, well, I didn't see that. Because we're English-speaking people. I was down in Belize, they're speaking Spanish, I'm getting my Spanish going again, talking to people. And I'm realizing words I use in English sometimes don't translate over to Spanish. So I just throw out an English word if I didn't know a Spanish word. Then I would say, Susan, what's the Spanish word for that? And they would say, there's not one. We just use an English word. Oh, really? So, everybody just read with me Romans 12:2. Be not conformed, right? Now watch this. Flip the page back to Romans 8. Y'all are going to like this. Verse 29. Everybody in the room knows Romans 8:28. But verse 29 says, for who he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be, what? To the image of the Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Don't stress over that verse. Don't get theologized on that verse. The Bible said God foreknew. In other words, y'all are going to be shocked at this. God knows what's going to happen to you, Susan, before it happens. Woo! I knew that when I was a kid. He knew who I'd marry. He knew where I'd be preaching today. He knew what sermon. He knew I had a green Jell-O box before I bought it. Anybody believe that stuff? I do, Brother Wayne. I think this is the God I know. So He didn't know me, and because He knew me... You ready? Ready, Paul? He knew I would accept Him or reject Him. Brother Steve! Yeah! He knows everything! And since He knew it, here's what He said. After you accept me, I'm going you to conform. Same English words, Romans 12. Now here's my question for you, class, before you go to sleep on me. Are they the same word conform, Carmen? Because in English it says the same. Be not conformed. And right here it said conform. I'm asking you, class, are they the same word? And I'm telling you they're not. One of them's Jell-O. Does anybody know which one's Jell-O? Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world. The word conform means to mold. This is a mold. What I put into it, liquidized, put in my refrigerator, comes out looking just like its mold. Alright, class. Paul says, don't be Jell-O in a mold. This world, Cecil, is the mold. This world is the mold. You don't do anything, Miss Deborah, but just sit around in the mold, you're going to be just like the mold. So Paul says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be a mold of Jell-O. Listen, Larry, the problem with Christians today, we're living in the mold.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. I want to help you. Well, I'm three. One, two, three. Amen. We are. We're living right here with the mold, Robbie, and we're starting to act like them. We're starting to talk like them. We're going to the same places. We're doing the same stuff with our Jesus shirt on. Come on, what happened to my class? Paul said, Greg, don't be conformed. If I don't do some rethinking, I'm naturally going to think this way. You know why? Because this is where I live. When I was a kid growing up, in Indianapolis, we got a Sunday paper. I miss Sunday papers. The Indianapolis Star. My dad opened up that paper, and he grabbed one group of papers out of that paper. Anybody know which group he grabbed? Say it. Go ahead. He did. The comics. He thought he grabbed the sports page. He grabbed the comics. I got the comics after Dad got the comics. Anybody ever read the comics? Snapshot, word, snapshot, word, snapshot. That's life. That's reality. You and I are living a comic strip. In the middle of this comic strip is our life. We get a chance to either change the next strip or just keep conforming to it. I'm going to tell you how it's going to end. We're all going to die. But if you just hang out in the mold, you'll be like the mold and you will turn out like everybody else in the mold turns out and you'll end up in a place called hell. That's where the world will get you. And God says right in the middle of this thing, Don't be yellow in the mold, but be conformed, not to this world, but be transformed. How do you do that? What I just told you. You've got to change your mind. Yes, I can go fish. Yes, I can go hunt. Yes, I can do all those things that the world does. But I'm going to do it God's way. And while I'm there, I'm going to live like Jesus would have lived. Did Jesus fish? Apparently, because when the disciples got on land, He already had fish cooking. I hope He had cornmeal batter and hush puppies. Yeah, He fished. He ate. He did. He did all those stuff. And while He was doing it, He was Jesus. And what He's saying to you and I, we got to be Jesus while we're living here. Okay, Brother Steve, now tell us what the other conform is. I'm glad you all asked. In Romans 8:29, He tells us this. And let's read it one more time. I'll give you a couple of things to ponder. We'll go home. 29. Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed. It's not the same word in its original language. It's not be the mold. This word, which blowed me away, comes from the word metamorphosis, which we get a Spanish word for butterfly. A little worm crawls in this thing and around itself it makes a cocoon. Brother Don, I don't know what happens inside that cocoon, but one day that little thing busts open and a butterfly flies out. Worm went in, butterfly comes out. Something happened on the inside. That's what conform means. Huh. We just got a little simple English word, conform, Carmen. But this makes a whole lot of difference. See, God doesn't have a mo, and He doesn't just pour us in a mo and says, now, everybody's just going to be like Jesus. No. He comes on the inside. And He takes Steve's personality, who He made. You and I were made in the image of God. Come on, you can say what you want to say. I've just been around the world so much I learned to talk like them. I didn't even listen. I almost had to learn like 60% of new language after I got saved because my old language was foul. I didn't learn it from them. Everybody said, oh, what's going on at his house? It wasn't those words because Mama's making me eat soap every time she called me. So that wasn't happening. But I was hanging around with people who were sharing those words with me. And the more I heard them, the more I just talked like them. Before you knew it, every word coming out had that language and that tone. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I was conforming, not trying to. It just was natural. Now God says, Steve, I've saved you. So I never have to worry about saying a bad word again, Miss Deborah. Huh. That's not the truth. But on the inside, He started changing Steve. And now, believe it or not, Susan, sometimes those words never even come to my tongue anymore. I look back and I think, Robbie, yeah, I'm getting there. I'm not there, but I'm getting there. Everybody with me? Because God's not dumped me in a mold and I'm going to come out like Jesus. He's on the inside turning me into Jesus. A little bit at a time, Cecil. A little bit. But you know what's going to help me, Cecil? My thinking. So I want to give you two things. Take them home with you. Ponder them. How many of you think how I turn out is going to determine what I'm thinking about? Right here is the biggest battlefield of your life. You wake up. Things didn't start out the day right. Your whole day's in the tank. Come on. I'm just going to go to bed and start this in tomorrow. You ever heard of anxiety or depression? If you have, you know what I'm talking about. Has anybody in this room ever just went to bed and said, I'll start tomorrow noon? There you go. Where'd that come from? It come from right here. The Bible says a man thinketh in his what? You know how far that is away? Was it about 10 inches? It's just got to get from here to here, Miss Phyllis. That's all it's got to get. But sometimes it gets stuck here. And the world stinking takes off. And I talk to somebody in the world, Noah, and they give me their advice, and it's in the thinking goes even farther. Come on, amen. I get on Facebook, and they're telling me what they're thinking too, and my mind just keeps going. I'm telling you two things you got to do. You got to do. You got to think on the Lord and His Word. I'm just going to cut to the chase. I'm going to make it simple. I got three or four things, but I ain't got time. Number one, you need a mind of gratitude. You better start waking up thankful. We are one blessed group of people in this United States of America. I just got reminded of where I live. We are one blessed group. Here's a question that came to me over and over from the team I took with me. These people have nothing, and yet they're so... And we got everything, Miss Jody, and we're so... How are you doing this morning? Great. Gas almost $5. Guy over here driving a diesel said, what do you mean almost five? I'm paying $5.50. I just came from where they were paying $15. Oh, you the police? Okay, I'll make that into your money. $7.50 a gallon. They make $25 a day, your money. Where are you going today? On a bicycle. You and I pull up to the pump, Susan, and we complain while we're pumping it. Aren't you glad to have me back? Everybody go get them a bicycle. No, I'm not doing that. We're blessed, but I don't know we're grateful. Gratitude, Miss Julie, is where it comes from. It comes from a heart of gratitude. Lord, help me wake up in the morning thankful. Well, I had a bunch. Save it for another time. How do I keep going the right way? Do this with me, class. I think I got people in here directionally challenged. So I'm going to give you a test. On the count of three, I want you to point north. I don't want you to look at nobody. Some of you are already looking at your wife. Some of you are looking at your husband. On the count of three, point north. One, two, three. I got some that way, some that way, some that way. I'm going to settle the argument. I got a compass on my phone. Right there. That's straight north. Does anybody know how I know that? I know I got a compass. Anybody know how? Because there's a thing called the Polaris Star. Who knows where the Polaris Star is? Oh, come on. Where you guys live? All right, tonight I'm going to give you the lesson now so tonight you can find it, okay? How many know where the Big Dipper is? How many know where the Little Dipper is? Everybody's like, all right, how you say? One's bigger than the other. All right, that's how you know the Little Dipper. The Little Dipper, at the very tip of the handle, is a star. That's the North Star. One time, Brother Brian, the Little Dipper's on this side. And after a while, the Little Dipper's on that side. But the point of the handle never moves. The Polaris Star is always right there. It never moves. It's always in the center. Everything around Miss Julie is going like this. But that one star, Rob, is right there. I watched my fisherman on the sea get home in the dark, make it safely to the village because they watched the stars. Can I tell you what the player star is for you Christians today? I'm going to try to keep your thoughts right. It's the cross. Paul said, Phyllis, I don't want to know anything other than Christ and Him what? Crucified. So when you're all distracted, you don't really know which way to go, refocus on your star, the cross. Because the way of the cross, it does. And Miss Julia will get you back where you need to be every single time. We as Christians, we get cold, we get indifferent. But all you got to do, Miss Susan, is go back to the cross. Changes everything. Why in the world would God become flesh and be spit upon and give His life for me? And all I can find out, Jody, is He loved me. And when I feel like the whole world is just messed up, I just refocus back on the cross. I get my compass back. The cross. The cross. That's what makes a difference today. Can I ask an honest question? Just raise your hand if it's... How many of you in this room have lost focus at some point in time? And you had to get right back. Some could be like that right now. And if we're not careful, we just start getting conformed. Not even trying. The world just keeps getting in the jello mode. I don't want to be the jello mode. I'm like Boone Whitty back there. I don't like jello. That's what he told me. I don't like jello. I don't really care for jello. And I sure don't want to be a jello Christian. I want to be a butterfly. He said, oh, preacher, you're so sissy. I know. Because I'm telling you what, I'm like a worm that crawled in. But boy, he's a changing that worm. I think one of our songs, we sing Such a Worm as I. Remember that song? Maybe the guy that wrote it knew what he's talking about. Are you're being conformed today. Either way, sitting in this room, you are being conformed. Either here or out here. Let's stand and pray together. Father, Lord, I pray this morning for this invitation. Lord, I know there's probably needs here today. Lord, I would just pray simple that Your will would be done in this place. And Lord, for those who are struggling not to be like the world, but the world just seems like it's got a pull, help them understand that the cross has a pull too. Just like we have a northern pull to keep us going north on this earth. Directionally, we have a pull of the cross that keeps us spiritually going the right way. Lord, have Your way in this invitation today. Help us leave here knowing we've done exactly what You asked. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. What we sing.